Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Glenn the Geek in frigid, snow-covered Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings in, sunny, beautiful Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning for December 6, 2010, episode 26, sponsored by Omega Alpha. Good morning, Horse World. Good morning, Glenn.
Liked it so much last week, I thought I'd play it again.
And this time I wrote down the decades of that music, and it is 80s, 70s, and 60s.
Well, there you go. That's perfect.
Thank you very much.
I was too busy riding camels last night to put a new soundbite together for this morning show. So I just
Fun with that. That's got to be on the bucket list and check it off. Yeah, I log on to Facebook this morning and there's a video of Glenn riding a camel. Tell us how that happened.
Well, we were at the dinner last night. It was our annual trek out to dinner and for Bellinis. Do you know what a Bellini is?
Well, I've had a peach Bellini before, and I believe
that's
some sort of incredibly sweet alcoholic beverage.
Yes, correct. And they're in a tall glass, and they're all swirly and pretty. And then they come with a peach that's been soaked in rum for a week, a piece of peach that's been – I'm not kidding. You can get drunk just by eating the peach. So anyway, we had a couple of Bellinis and dinner, and then with friends, Jennifer and I headed out to the Southern Lights over at the Kentucky Horse Park, which is a really neat ride, drive-your-car-through experience, which was good because it was about 16 degrees out. So you drive your car all around the park, and they have it all decorated with lights and vignettes and stuff.
And I'm assuming that Jennifer was your designated driver.
Yes, correct.
Mr. Bellini.
Yes, that's right. So we get out, and then you go in, and they have little displays set up in the museum and stuff, and it's kind of neat. They also have a petting zoo, and then they have the camel rides. Well, last year, I didn't take a camel ride. Our friend Darcy took the camel ride. Well, she bugged me this year and said, you got to take the camel ride. So we both took the camel ride. Not a very long ride. I wish it was a longer ride. But camels definitely move a little bit different than horses, let me tell you. And you do feel like you're going downhill. That neck, if you didn't have that saddle on, you'd be sliding right off the front. but it was fun. We had a good time. And, you know, after a couple of Bellinis, camel rides are kind of fun, you know?
Absolutely. Look at the pretty lights. Let's ride the pretty camel. Not bad. Now, did the camel ride cost extra?
Yeah, that was $5 for that little video. What was it, a minute and 10-second camel ride? But it was
much.
Worth
they
it.
Just
you know,
how many... in a circle.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, how many times can you say you rode a camel? So, you know what? I actually went to a circus one time. It was a pretty shady little circus, actually. But then after the circus, you could hop on an elephant for $20, and I rode the elephant for $20. So I thought you got a deal on the camel.
Now, I thought the camel was wide when I sat on it. I imagine an elephant feels really wide when you sit on it.
Oh, yeah. It's like you're sitting on the ground. but it moved. So it's like you're sitting on the ground after about 10 Bellinis. That's how you feel.
And little 5-foot Jamie up there, you probably didn't even look like you were up there. It looked like a little flea on his back.
Oh, it was very fun, though. But, yeah, the whole riding a camel or an elephant, that's definitely a bucket list type thing. I'd love to ride camels in the desert someday, so maybe that'll happen. Who knows? But
well,
it was a good weekend.
It's a slow gait. It's a long, loping, slow gait. It's just, it just takes a while to get there. Now, you had a dressage show on Saturday, right?
Yes, I did. I took one of my client's horses. Her name is Mary Lou, and she has this horse named Tiny. And poor Tiny has had a really, you know, aside from her being in his life, he's had a pretty rotten existence. I mean, she's taken him to trainers that have said, this horse will never be broken. Because he was a racehorse and ran in 51 races, Glenn, 51 races, and this horse never won a race, like never finished. And this guy kept running him and running him, and he would get about halfway through and then he would stop. That's how opinionated this horse is. And she sent him to trainer after trainer. And not that I do anything special. I just was nice to him. And he and I have gotten along so well. This horse, again, his name is Tiny, and he is now 18 years old. He'll be 19 in January. I've been riding him for about a year and, you know, just once or twice a week. And we did our first dressage show this weekend. And I have to tell you, it was so cute. And I'll tell you why. Mary Lou, Tiny's owner, is a very patient woman, and she is 73 years old. And she rides this horse in lessons with me and another horse, her other quarter horse. And, you know, this has been a culmination of a very long time she's had this horse, and nobody's been able to do anything with it. Everybody told her it would amount to nothing, and she has stuck by this horse. And to see this horse, Tiny, go in his first dressage show ever, his first anything ever, she was absolutely overwhelmed. And I was there. My husband was there. Her husband was there. Everybody from the barn was there because it was Tiny's big debut at the dressage show. And I took the horse in, and he was an absolute angel. He was so perfect. He went in, did his little halt, walk, trot, canter, and it was training level test one. So with him going around, and he just hit the mark on everything. Now, granted, he's not the flashiest of horses, but he was very honest, and he was very accurate. And when I came out of that ring, I did my little halt salute, turned around, thanked the judge, walked out, and I hopped off the horse, and I handed him to Mary Lou, and I looked at her, and she was bawling. She was crying so hard. She was so happy that her horse finally... Isn't that cool?
That's cool. And you remember the test?
I had a caller, honey. Come on. I don't need it. It's hard enough to remember one eventing test, but we ended up doing training level test three as well. We kind of skipped over two and went to training level three. And he did very well with that one, too. And I must say that we ended up with a 65.8 on our first test and a 62 on our second test and got second place both times.
Oh, wow. Well, congratulations. Wow, she must have been thrilled with that.
She was absolutely ecstatic. And I just hoped, you know, like I told her, because this horse, Tiny, can be a little explosive at times, that I told her our goal is to stay on the horse for the entire test and to stay in the arena for the entire test. So we fulfilled both those goals, and he really exceeded our expectations. So very, very good. Day with Tiny and Mary Lou and all those guys out there. So thanks very much. And he's now got 2 second place ribbons. So it was awesome. Anyway,
he finally
sounds like
won
a great
something.
Weekend
he
for
finally
everybody,
came
huh?
into money. He finally came into money in a race.
Yeah, and that check that I guess it's in the mail because I didn't walk away with any money. Well, we've actually got a pretty awesome show today, Glenn. Jennifer's going to tell us about it. And I think this is one of those shows that you'll really want to pay attention to because it's going to be educational for everybody listening. And we're going to talk to Jennifer. What's coming up?
On today's show, on today's Monday Omega Alpha episode, we've got Debbie Metcalf from Stolen Horse International and NetPosse.com. She is coming back to spend an entire hour with us this time around. Last time we had so much interaction going on, we just couldn't get all the questions in, and there's so much more to learn. So she's going to hang out with us for the entire hour, answer a lot of questions about horse theft, horse disappearing, how to protect your horses from theft. It's going to be really interesting, and I think it's something that everybody who has a horse should pay some attention to, because the best thing you can do is educate yourself to keep you and your horses out of that situation. And we're also going to be welcoming on board a new advertiser.
Yay!
Well, I like that. Yay! For that. And, you know, we're going to be, Jamie and I are going to be chatting a little bit here, too. But we'd like to get your calls. If you'd like to call us about something on this Monday morning, give us a call at 347-637-3238. That's 347-637-3238. We would love to hear from you. So today's the big day, you know. It's the big day. We're going to see Zenyatta today.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so jealous. How could you have not flown me into Lexington, Kentucky to see Zenyatta? I mean, really. No, tell us. So she's going to be flying into the Lexington airport?
I think so. I think what happened was I just saw that a video from yesterday where she made her last appearance out in California, and the LA Times put out a video about that. And then she's flying in today. She's going to be at the Keeneland doing a public appearance at about 4:15. So we're going to go over there along with, I'm sure, a few thousand of our friends. And we're gonna pay a visit with Zenyatta. Did you see the video that was posted all over Facebook and that I put up too about that art? Actually, the article that I posted from that writer. I'm looking for it here. Did you see that over the weekend? Zenyatta, a reminder to celebrate life from the Daily Racing Form.
I don't read half your stuff.
Look down on our Facebook page. And you'll see that, and it was a very good article about this woman who just didn't get it. And then we actually went out and met Zenyatta here recently about and how Zenyatta was, how they would take the time, the owners and the trainer and the exercise rider that we talked to and the groom and stuff would take the time to bring Zenyatta out to meet people so that she could get pictures. And, you know, hundreds of people would show up a day out at Santa Anita to see her, just walk around. And, you know, it was a very interesting article, and I think you would like it especially. So, you know, take a read of that one. Don't forget that you can comment and have a conversation on our Facebook page with some of our listeners. Do that every day. Just search for Horses in the Morning on Facebook. And that's where you'll see the video of me riding the camel. Also.
And apparently, Glenn, from what I saw, I have a lot of people that want to come in and live with me. I hear
yes.
It's 17 degrees or something there. Are you serious?
Yeah, 16 degrees right now in Lexington, or a high today is going to be 22. And it was really depressing when I posted the snow pictures from the weekend on Facebook, and all these people from the northern climates were saying, ours is all melted. You know, it was like, oh, why do we live in Kentucky?
Oh, my gosh.
You know, they say Kentucky's
today,
the horse capital of the world.
Glenn,
they say Kentucky's horse capital of the world. I'm thinking of Calais, a little warmer and nicer now. I'm thinking of Calais, sounding good.
Yeah, Ocala would be a nice place to go, especially winter. But you can also come to Phoenix because, it's going to be a hot one today. High of 79.
That'll get
but
some comments
on
Facebook.
Yeah, exactly. And just remember that I will be coming to stay with you guys in the summer.
All right. We have our first guest on today, and I would like to welcome Kim to the show. Hi, Kim. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing this morning?
We're doing great. And we want to thank you for coming on board and also for being our newest sponsor here on Horses in the Morning. And you have a product that's kind of cool, and, of course, me being a geek, I really like it. So tell us about Pocket Stable.
Well, it's not kind of cool. It's really cool. Just got to start out there. No. it's a pretty simple idea. It's an app for the iPhone, and the idea being that most horse owners that we ran into, some of our co-creators as well, kept all the information of farrier visits and dentist visits and vaccines and wormings on little pieces of paper or calculators, calendars that were then crammed into glove compartments, tack rooms and all of that. And they couldn't find it, or they had to search and gerbil through and all of that. And so Pocket Stable was created so that you can build a stable for each of your horses, and you can log in the information as you need it, and it will send you updates to remind you to schedule the farrier visit, or that a Coggins is due, or whatever it might be, as well as keeping vet numbers and other important dates, registration numbers, insurance numbers. So it's all in one place, and that's the idea of, you know, keeping your stable in your pocket.
Would that be cool to have on your iPhone, Jane?
I'm not going to lie to you right now. I was just reading about this Pocket Stable, and I am downloading it right now because I have five horses in the back, and I mean, with one, it's confusing enough, and I was just thinking yesterday on Sunday, I'm like, okay, when was the last time Will got shot? And I need to put down somewhere that I just dewormed him. And I know that when was the last time I dewormed that other horse? And you know, this is awesome. It is so appropriately timed, too, because I'm seriously downloading it right now because it is just, you're right, it is such a mess to keep records like that. And I'm sorry, I'm not a great record keeper, but I do have my iPhone with me all the time. So this would be so easy just to plug in. While I'm out at the barn, when you come into the house, you sit down, you grab a cup of coffee, you kind of forget what you just did, and maybe that's just me being... Apparently, it's not just me, because
it's
everybody else
you.
Seems to like it.
there's a lot of us out
yeah.
there.
It's really amazing. I guess that's horse people for you. So this is a great app, and it's got some really awesome reviews. Congratulations. Five stars. Awesome. Very good. Very, very good for you. And did you create this?
I work together. There's three of us, one being my dad, who's Mike Doyle, and then a friend of ours named Sam, who's our iPhone programming developer, technical guru guy. And it started because we were sitting around and my dad was complaining about the fact that my mom had had him searching for one of those calendars. They own seven horses. And he had spent the better part of the day in August in Texas searching tack rooms and cars and trucks and trailers to try and find it to figure out when they needed to worm, like, for their horses. And so he was bridging. And then that came, hey, wouldn't it be cool? And then it just kind of went from there. So that's how it came about. And we learned a lot as we were doing it because none of us had ever done this before. So it was a lot of fun. It was a fun project.
I want to mention, too, that it's very inexpensive, right? This is cheaper than any calendar you're going to buy.
Yeah, exactly. And more durable.
$3.99 or something?
Yep, $3.99. And... exactly. I mean, calendars that you're going to lose, crumple, and stain. Hopefully, you treat your iPhone better than I treat my calendars. So,
just barely a step above, but thankfully, it's got a good case on it.
Yeah, I thank for those cases all the time. I drop mine regularly. Fortunately, it's always on carpet or grass.
Now, how many horses can you put in this program? How many horses at a time?
Currently, you can put in 8 horses.
Okay.
But that being said, we are looking at an upgrade after the beginning of the year to be able to add in more horses because Apple has changed their programming and the database requirements to make it easier to do that.
Okay.
So, and we're also looking at being able to add pictures of your horse with the stable. That's something else that Apple has made easier to do within the iPhone parameters.
That'll be available for free upgrade kind of thing?
Yes, that would be a free upgrade. And
I am now an owner of Pocket Stable, so I'm excited to get started. I'm going to play with it for the rest of the show, Glenn.
Great. I'll be talking to myself.
I was
thanks
say,
a
you're
lot.
On your own, Glenn. Good. I'm glad. I'm excited. I hope that you like it.
It's such a great idea. I mean, even if you have one horse or you have 8 horses, you know, it's going to be such an easier way to keep track of all that stuff. So I'm glad I'm not the only one who was, like, writing things down on the back of my hand and then bathing the horse, and then it was coming off, and then I didn't have any way to tell what I'd done that day. So good. This is helpful. Thank you.
Good. My pleasure.
And the other thing that I really liked, I really did like when Kim contacted me the first time about possibly advertising on the show, is the name of your company.
Shall I say it, or would you like
to? Yeah, you should.
Okay. Our company is called Road Apple Applications.
Oh, that's great.
That's the universal. Anyone that has a horse or has been around horses knows what you're talking about. So.
You know what? I'm already getting a question here, Kim, on Facebook. Jackie wants to know, when is Pocket Stable for the Droid coming out?
Oh, goodness. We are working on that.
Good, because we have the Droid. I have the Droid, too, so
yes,
I'm
we've gotten several requests for it, and there's definitely a market, and right now it's just a learning curve for us. We are working on learning how to transfer the programming from the Apple. This is Sam's area. I'm going to speak technical, but I don't really know what I'm saying, so bear with me. There's different languages, and
yep.
There is a way to transfer the Apple language into language that we can do on the Droid, but we're learning right now. So it will be after the first of the year, but it is something that we are seriously pursuing.
Yay, then I can buy it for our horse. All right,
yeah,
so right now it's available. Right now it's available for the iPhone. And soon, hopefully, keep our fingers crossed, will be available for the Droid. Everybody should download it. It's only $3.99. You can keep track of up to 8 of your horses on it, and you'll never have an excuse for not worming on time, deworming on time. Sorry, Jamie. And you'll never have an excuse for not deworming or, you know, having the shots done or any of that stuff. So no excuses anymore. Just put it on your phone.
That's the yes, indeed.
That'll be my ad from now on. I'll just beat people to death with it.
PocketStable.com
is the website, and you can find it also, I assume, by searching Pocket Stable in the App Store.
That is correct.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Kim, for coming on. We appreciate it, and good luck with it.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you guys having me on. And have a
All right. Thank you.
Have a
Merry
great
Christmas.
Day. Merry Christmas to you, too. Bye-bye.
Well, there's Kim from Road Apple Productions. That's a great name. I love that name, Road Apple Productions.
I do too. Sorry,
it's
I'm
Road
busy.
Apple
I'm entering.
Applications, Glenn. Applications.
What's that?
It's Road Apple Applications.
Oh, okay.
Read the show notes.
Okay. Road Apple Applications. That's right. That's what it is. She could start another company called Road Apple Productions. I like that one too.
That's right.
So now we're going to lose Jamie for the rest of the show. She's in there playing with her application. Hey, Jamie, I got to tell you this. There were a couple news stories I wanted to bring up today. One is, have you ever heard of the Mongol Derby?
The Mongol Derby? No. Never. Didn't see that one first Saturday in May.
It is the longest, most grueling horse race on the planet. It's only been done 2 years now. It's 630 miles over 10 days.
What?
And you're using 12 to 14, I guess, different horses. Guess where it is? It's in Mongolia.
Sure.
And the entry fee is $10,000. And there are 25 riders from around the world that they accept in to ride. And what they're riding is, it's a route that traces the old postal route system of Genghis Khan nearly 1,000 years ago. It's sort of the predecessor to our Pony Express kind of thing. So it's an incredible, they ride 14 hours a day on 3 to 4 different horses a day. And as I understand it, they ride these horses that are native to Mongolia. So you're not riding your own horses, you're riding their horses that the tribes all have and that they have ready for you at these various stops.
Hey,
so,
I have an idea. That could be Kathleen's next adventure.
There we go. She rode 3,000 miles. She wanted to do it for speed. Here you go. This is for speed. If you take a look at the website, it's at, we'll put a link in our show notes. It's a little long. but we'll put a link in our show notes. You're going to see the countryside is beautiful that they're riding through. Matter of fact,
this is crazy.
Isn't it crazy? I found it this morning and was like, I can't believe that even exists. And it's wacky.
630 miles through Mongolia. I mean, first of all, maybe I don't know that much about Mongolia, but is it safe there?
I guess. I don't know. maybe one of our listeners has been to Mongolia and they can tell us about it. I just posted on Facebook if people want to go to the link and check it out, the Mongol Derby, the greatest equine adventure in the world. I guess so. Talk about a sore butt. You're going to get a sore butt after that one. Unbelievable.
That's when you invest in the gel pad. The gel pad for your saddle.
And it looked like, from what I saw last year, according to the chart here, there were 1, 2, 3 riders from the United States in 2010. Quite a few from England. Australia had one or two, and other parts of the world. But yeah, there weren't too many riders. You know, last year they say limited to 25, but it looked like there weren't 25 last year. So there you go,
wow.
Something to work towards there, Jamie. Something to look forward to. The Mongol Derby happens in August of next year. I think we should go cover it live. What do you think?
Yeah, because I'm not going to be riding in it. That's for sure. Oh my gosh, no way.
Also, it was Friday. Remember we talked about it was the auction for all of the painted horses that were around during the World Equestrian Game, Horse Mania, and the 2010 auction. And this year, things didn't go quite as high as last year. The average sale price for each horse was $5,700. They raised $376,000 selling off those painted horses. And I think Samantha was there. She was tweeting from there on Friday, I saw.
So
it was
which one went the highest, Glenn? Do you know?
It looks like it was the bourbon barrel one. Robert Ramsey of the Ramsey's Diners here in Lexington, well-known, paid $11,000 for that one. And he said, we sell a lot of bourbon. So he was sort of partial to that one. And he was going to put that out in front of one of the restaurants. Also, Lexington Clinic bought one, was the first winning bidder to break into five figures when he bought one for $10,500. There were 17 horses that didn't sell at all, and they had a minimum bid at $3,700. They're not sure what they're going to do with those yet. So, $376,000 benefiting LexArts Public Art Fund and 84 other charities. So, you know, that was a pretty good night, though.
Yeah, I mean, for this kind of economy to take underneath something, this is a pretty big deal to ask people to spend $3,700 minimum for a piece of art in this economy. And that's just the sad thing about it. But it looks like they're going to... I'm looking on here. They did that one that was like the airplane, the Pegasus with the airplanes coming up, airplane wings went for $12,000. So that's good, I guess. And looks like some of them went for some good money, but you're right. It's just the economy.
Yep. So that was a good one. I think that still they were probably pretty happy with that chunk of change. Speaking of chunks of change, I saw this story this morning, and it just... I grew up in not a poor family, but not a wealthy family either. We were very middle class. You know, we got by, you know, we had four boys, so there were hand-me-downs, things like that. So I didn't grow up in a family that had big parties or, you know, really birthday parties consisted of a cake. I don't know what your family was like, but that's what ours was like. So I saw this story out of Providence. And what caught my eye was a white carriage drawn by a white horse carried a young woman in white wearing a faux fur and a silver tiara to the Roger Williams Park Botanical Center, which, by the way, is absolutely beautiful. We've been there before. And this was for her 16th birthday party, her sweet 16 party, in which her parents, Tori Ann and Stephen, it's pronounced Equeo, $50,000 for this party.
Oh, my gosh.
Birthday. $50,000. There was a fire twirler, a hoop dancer, a ball balancer, and two costumed stilt walkers, and there were servers of pastries dressed like Marie Antoinette, letting the people eat cake and all kinds of sweets for her Sweet 16 party. $50,000. They had Pauly D from, and I have not watched Jersey Shore, but they had Pauly D from Jersey Shore, who discounted his usual rate of $40,000 for 2 hour appearance. When do you think someday we're going to get $40,000 for a 2 hour appearance, huh?
Yeah, Glenn, just keep on dreaming that'll happen. I don't see that ever happening. But $40,000 for 2 hours, not a bad day for Pauly D. Paul DeVecchio, a.k.a. Pauly D. Whatever.
I couldn't believe this. Some of the things they said in here, you know, and this is the biggest party that they've thrown, but he throws parties like this every year. It's his only daughter, and she's his princess, and she, you know, they want to take, maybe I'm offending a lot of people who have spent $50,000 on Sweet 16 parties. I'm not sure, but I could have thought it was a little over the top myself. But that's just my opinion. Maybe you had one. Did you have a Sweet 16 party for $50,000?
Oh, yeah, Glenn. It was huge. You know, we had carriages and gold ladled. No, I had nothing. I don't even remember my 16th birthday. That's pretty bad. Let's see. My birthday parties growing up, we were the one family in Decatur, Georgia, that had had horses. So all of my birthday parties that we had at my house ended up in me giving everybody pony rides at my own birthday party.
Okay. So you were working at your birthday party.
Yeah, it was a working party, exactly, working party. So that's pretty much what happened at my birthday parties. But, no, I can't even imagine this. And I just think it's amazing that her parents are like, yeah, hello, it's our daughter. Of course we're going to spend $50,000 on a birthday party. And then I think at the bottom she wrote, she said in this article, I didn't want gifts. People said that they'd give me gifts, but I figured I'd give them to Toys for Tots. I said the only gift I want is for them to be there. So that's actually a pretty good thing, but I can't imagine the 16-year-old girl saying, I don't want gifts. I just want a $50,000 birthday party.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. All right. Well, we have a sponsor this half hour, and then we're going to get to our guest coming up here shortly, and we're going to have our first actually return guest here on the show because we thought it was that important.
Yeah,
that's
we're going
to do the commercial. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I'm having a little trouble with my computer. Hold on 1 second.
Okay.
We do have a sponsor for this half hour. It is Omega Alpha. Omega Alpha Pharmaceuticals creates only natural health products. Their scientists, guided by Dr. Gordon Cheng, formulate a wide variety of mainly herbal health products to address many equine health problems. One of the terrific products that Omega Alpha has is Respifree. Respifree is used as a first-line treatment for breathing problems. It's used in horses with severe breathing problems such as COPD and heaves. It's also beneficial for horses that race on synthetic surfaces, which may contribute to respiratory problems. Omega Alpha brings consumers the perfect marriage of nature and science. You can look for their products at retailers nationwide and visit their website at omegaalpha.ca. Well, it's going to be an educational day. I hope everybody has a pen and paper to learn just a little bit more on how to better protect your family and your investments. We're going to talk to Debbie Medcalf right now from Stolen Horse International and Net Posse, and you may recognize her from some previous shows that we did have. But we just really felt like, Glenn and I felt like we never really got in depth enough with Debbie and ask all those questions that we want to talk to her about on theft prevention. How do we make this stop before it actually happens? So let's say good morning to Debbie. Hey, how are you? Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing this morning?
Doing great. Thank you for coming back on. Like I was saying, you know, it's there's so much to talk to you about, and so many people that want to talk to you who are very passionate or may have stories. And every time we've had you on, we get flooded with people that want to talk to you. And Glenn and I just really want to spend a little bit of time with just you at first to talk to you about the different ways that we can prevent our horses from ending up on net posse. So if you could start out with just talk about the options of things that us as horse owners can do to protect our horses.
Well, the first thing you can do is start out by preventative measures. Look at your farm and start with the horse. And we talked a little bit about this before in identifying your horse. And there's all different kinds of ways you can do this. And the best way to ID your horse is the way that you feel most comfortable with. And, you know, there's different types of identification. Of course, you have the microchip, you have the freeze brand, you have the hot brand, you have hoof brands, you also have lip tattoos, freeze marking, and then there's, you know, other types of ID as well, but those are the most common types. The type that I like the best, of course, is a visible combination with a microchip. And one is a trace back to the horse as far as proof for the owner. And
okay, you ran through those so quickly. I'd like to kind of start with the microchip. First, you know, where can you get one? How much does it cost? And where do they put it on the horse?
Well, actually, you can get your microchips right here with us. We have a program, a low-cost program, that we have the microchips here with two national registries, so that we protect you with a well-known registry and then with our own as well, so that we can ID the horse with all types of ID, not just the microchip, but with any type of ID that you have with pictures. And with our registry, if the horse goes missing for any reason, then it goes into our system automatically with our alerts so that we have all the information ready to go. And then, of course, we have another well-known registry with our microchips. And we have these microchips here so that a lot of the horse owners can do the microchips themselves. And people don't know that they can do that, but you can insert a microchip yourself in your own horse. If you can give a shot, you know, with confidence, it's basically what it is. But I don't recommend people to do this if they can't give shots to their horses or if they're wusses like me, because I won't do it.
So I have a question. Let me ask about the microchip and shooting it yourself, which I didn't know you could do. That's news to me. So how big are the microchips? Are they pretty small?
They're about the size of a grain of rice.
Really?
And they're already inserted into a syringe that's ready to go.
I didn't realize. See, I always thought they were bigger. I was picturing something about the size of a dime or something like that.
Oh, no. They're very small. And the same microchip, the size of the microchip, the same ones that the horses get, it's the same ones that the chihuahuas get.
Mm-hmm. So
it doesn't change according to the size of the animal.
Well, our basset hound has one, and it was pretty easy to put in, and they put it on dogs right kind of at the between the shoulders. Where would you do this on a horse?
In the horse, it's different. It's different where it's put in, and it's also different in how you put it in. In the dogs, it's put under the skin. It's sub-Q, so it can float around. But in a horse, it's always on the left side of the neck, halfway between the withers and the pole. It's got coming right off the mane into that nuchal ligament, that hard part of your of the neck. And when you insert the microchip, you go straight in with the needle into the ligament. It does not go under the skin.
Oh, so it goes right into the ligament. Huh.
It goes right into the ligament.
Is that obviously it's safe?
It is. It is. But, you know, with any type of any type of procedure, if you do it enough, you're going to have some horses or some animals have a reaction to it. I've never seen one have a reaction with as many microchips as I've seen do. But, you know, I've heard of them, you know, and you're going to nick a vein every now and then. I like to tell people the way it is. You know, there's nothing that's perfect. Nothing
okay, so for people that don't know anything about microchips, after I've gotten the microchip into my horse, and now my horse is stolen or disappears, what then? What then?
Well, the microchip, of course, is not a deterrent. It's not something that you can see that's going to bring your horse back, and it's certainly not GPS like a lot of people think it is. I wish it was. I would have loved to have been able to tap my thief on the shoulder and say, hey, you got something that belongs to me there. Yeah, that would be that's a dream for sure. But the microchip
does that exist at this point?
Well, there are things that you can put on the horse, but I'm not exactly sure if there's anything you can put in the horse yet. I think there's the technology's there, but as far as selling it to use it, I don't have it yet. Let's just put it that way.
We need to have NASA get to work on that. On the computer screen.
But the problem with this, the problem with this technology is that GPS has to have a battery, where the microchip
right.
does,
and that's true.
Okay. Battery going to wear out.
So you have to take your horse over to the wall and charge him. Hold on, I got the cord in him right now. Yeah, that probably wouldn't work. I don't think my horse would stand still overnight to recharge.
Yeah, there's little GPS units you can put in their tails. You know, you can wind them into their tails and things that you can hook to their halters. But if you can put it on, people can take it off or they can lose it.
Yeah. So if the microchip's in there, then what? What value does it have for me, the average horse owner?
The value it has is if you find your horse, and if we're talking about a true theft, is that the situation we're talking about right now?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Let's say you're at an auction and you find your horse, and someone's standing there saying, oh, no, it's not your horse. This is my horse. I've got papers on it. But you've got a microchip in there, and you've got two registrations that say when the horse was registered in your name. When you call law enforcement in, and you've got your paperwork, and then you've got your registration, you've got an 800 number that you can call on the spot and say, look, I've got a vehicle identification number, Mr. Law Enforcement Officer, inside of my horse. They understand vehicle identification number. They understand serial number. So you just call the 800 number and have them ID the owner of the horse right there. Now, the other thing that you'll have to do is you'll have to have someone bring a scanner out. I doubt the auction owner has one that they'll use. But, you know, that's just a matter of having a local vet and have law enforcement pick up one from a local vet. The same
so
scanner
all vets have
the cats and dogs reads the microchips in the horses.
Okay.
Does that help?
So, yes, that helps. I wasn't sure exactly how they worked myself, so that definitely helps. But as you said, that doesn't help prevent the horse from being stolen in the first place.
No, that's why we recommend if you're just going to use a microchip and nothing else, that you put signs out on your property that says my horses have permanent identification. Just like if you have an alarm in your house, what do you have down by the driveway? You have a little sign that says we have a security system. Well, you do the same thing at on your farm. If your horses are microchipped and you don't want anybody to mess with your horses, put a sign out. We have signs about every 50 yards on our fences that says our horses have permanent identification. Of course, our horses have permanent identification.
I'm sure you probably are a little bit overkill in your business,
well, we're
for sure.
For a couple of reasons, because you know I don't just read things out of a book. I wanted to know how to do it, so I could talk about it and you know, have experience doing it. And I also wanted to know how you can mess it up and fix it, because you know I'm not a perfect person, and I figure most people aren't. And if you're going to be doing it yourself, there's going to be people messing things up. Like me.
Now, let's see. We've gone over the microchips now, and of course, if anybody has any questions, they are welcome to call us at 347-637-3238. But the next thing on your list that you mentioned was a freeze brand. And talk about the freeze brand, what it is, how we get it, and how does it help protect our horse?
a freeze brand is perhaps one of the most common visible IDs, and you can do this yourself as well. You can order them through us or our various other places online. A freeze brand is basically, if you've ever seen the horses with the white brands on them, have you seen those before? Where the,
yes.
the hair is white? That's
yep,
a freeze
yep.
brand. That's what
okay.
A typical freeze brand looks like. But you can also have a freeze brand that looks like a hot brand, and a lot of people don't know that. But you just hold the freeze brand on the horse a little bit longer, and no hair grows back at all. And then you have what looks like a hot brand. And actually, that's my favorite kind of freeze brand because it can't
be the hairless part.
The hairless kind, yes. Yeah, but the others are pretty, and it looks really pretty on our horse Skeeter, who's black and white, and he's got that pretty little white HM on his rear. So he's really color coordinated. But I really like. Yeah, he's cute. But I really like the hairless type personally. But with the freeze brand.
Now,
go ahead.
On the hairless type, though, like my horse right now has a wicked huge winter coat. I mean, he looks like a pony and he with his winter coat. So does the hairless kind, can it just be grown over?
Well, the brand itself is not going to grow over, ever. The hair won't grow back in. But when they get really fuzzy, yeah, the brands can be concealed by a lot of hair.
Okay. So maybe clip it.
That. So you need to keep it trimmed a little bit in the wintertime if your horse gets really hairy.
Okay.
We have a couple that do that. So we kind of trim them out so it shows.
I think I brought this up to you last time. And I guess it's a little confusing, and I haven't really followed up on the suggestions that you did give me, but I do know somebody else who did it too. I have a horse with a freeze brand, but I did not put the freeze brand on him. I bought him with the freeze brand, and no clue what it means. No clue who I know who did it, but I have no way of getting in touch with them. The horse certainly wasn't stolen. I've known the horse since birth, but how do I get that registered to me? How do I find out what it means? And do you know what all those little symbols mean? It's a freeze brand underneath my horse's mane.
Okay, you're talking about on the neck, correct?
Yes.
So that's, and it's got symbols.
It does.
Okay, you're not talking about a freeze brand then. You're talking about a freeze mark. If it's got little pointed symbols, straight lines.
Okay.
Is that what you're
mm-hmm.
talking about? You're talking about
yeah,
a freeze mark.
Okay.
Well, that makes it real simple then. You just call Chirokinetics, and they can tell you who it's registered with. That's
Chirokinetics.
Mm-hmm. It's not a Mustang, is it?
No, he is not. But everybody, anytime I go anywhere, they ask me if he is. And I'm like, he's 16'3". He's definitely not a Mustang.
The mark you have on your horse's neck can only be put on by a certified technician. And it's
okay.
either going to be a Mustang, and if your horse is not a Mustang, then it would have to be put on by a certified technician, which through Chirokinetics. And I
okay,
can give
fantastic.
You that information after the show if you want me to.
That would be great. That would be great because I know that people do, and there's a couple people I know that have Mustangs, and they would love to know what the symbols mean. And when you buy these horses, just some information on how they can find out a little bit more about them. So that's pretty cool. You mentioned the tattoo.
On the Chirokinetics,
go ahead.
We have this the symbols somewhere on our website. We have the meaning of the symbols on the website.
Oh,
so
cool. So you can just go to netposse.com and find out what all the symbols on your horse mean?
Mm-hmm. And that's one of, with that particular, you know, I said there was no perfect form of ID. Everything has
mm-hmm.
a pro and a con. With the freeze mark, the good thing is it is traceable if you know how to trace it. And I do, and you didn't. So,
right.
But because you know me now, you know how to trace your mark. But the bad thing is that it's hard to read, especially if you don't have a key code. And most people don't know how to find a key code or where to get one. And they're really easy to find all over the internet if you just put in FreeSmart key code as well. They'll pop
up.
Search engines.
All right. Well, we've got the Freeze branded horse here, and then we've also got a thoroughbred in the backyard, and I know so many of our listeners have those, the thoroughbreds with the tattoos on under the lip. And you mentioned tattooing. Is that the kind of tattooing you're talking about, underneath the lip? Where can we get it?
Yes.
How much does it cost? Tell us everything.
The lip tattoo. The cost, I never talk cost because they can vary. It just depends on who's doing it. But the lip tattoo is generally on your thoroughbreds that are on the track. Now, we have lip tattoos that were put on by the Thoroughbred Protection Society on our racking horses. And I would guess on that we have the only racking horses that have had that done. But the reason we did that and the reason they did it for us was so we could help with it, to see how the procedure was done. And to see if it hurt the horse so we could answer questions. And I really thought this was going to be the one thing that my horses would say, forget this. You're not sticking this in my mouth.
You thought they were going to rack right on out of there, didn't you?
Yeah. Especially Idaho, because, you know, she's our, you know, blowhard, you know, snorted everything. But they have this double bar contraption that they put across the lip, flip the lip up, and they evidently can't feel those pins because both horses just stood there while they took
with observation.
They just stand there while they stick these little letter pins in their lips, and they dip them in ink and then they push them into the lip. It doesn't take very long to do. It's, you know, it took three of us to do it. But the horse didn't suffer any. Now, the problem, of course, with the lip tattoo is that as the horses age, the lips can molt and the lip tattoo can change. Like, take the letter B. In a few years, you may not know if that's a B, a 3, or an 8.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little hard to see later on.
Well,
okay,
you guys, we are talking with Debbie Metcalf from Net Posse. Of course, Debbie is the, you know, horse thief extraordinaire, but in a good way. And we're talking with her about how to protect your horse from getting stolen. Of course, we have a million calls on the phone for you. But, Glenn, did you have any more questions you want to run through, any more of these before we take calls?
I have a bunch more, but let's take some calls. And Debbie, you've agreed to be with us pretty much through the end of the show today. Is that right?
Uh-huh.
So Debbie will be with us
till
about 10:30 Eastern time. So if you have calls, please do call, and we'll get you in the queue. And it looks like we have Mary from Illinois is our first caller on there. Hi, Mary. You're on the air.
Hi, Glenn. Hi, Jamie. Hey, Debbie. How's it going?
Hey, Mary.
Now,
I just wanted to say...
Go ahead, yeah.
Oh, go ahead. No, go ahead.
Well, I said, I see here you're from Illinois and that you're a volunteer with Net Posse, as well as you've had one of your own horses stolen.
Yes, I was a volunteer for several years. I used to get the, I always have got the alerts, and I'd pass them on. And then one day, walked out to my pasture, and my horse was stolen. And I run a rescue farm, and on top of the rescue farm, I had my own personal horses. And I also had boarders' horses. And I knew that it was a theft because when I walked out to this pasture with 22 other horses, he was the only horse stolen. And I was listening to your show a couple weeks ago when you had said, why would anybody steal a paint horse? Well, mine was a half Arabian, and he was a loud 50-50 colored pinto. And he's amazing colored and very unique. And you wouldn't think anybody would go and steal this particular horse out of the pasture other than he's pretty. And then you'd think you could find him very easily. And we've been searching since February 7th for this horse. So we're looking all over the country. I have to think that he was stolen because of his high-level training. Now, everybody thinks, oh, high-level training, well, he must have won a lot of shows or ribbons or been in the show ring. Well, this particular horse was different. He didn't particularly care for the show ring, but he was a showman. And I found one avenue that was particularly great for him, which was Pirelli. And we had been with the Pirelli organization since 94. So we had lots of years established, him and I. And the only way, I have to say, you're talking about freeze brands and tattoos and IDs. Well, I thought his color would be enough to ID him. And unfortunately, it isn't. There's a lot of horses out there that are very similar, minus one dot here or there. I have to say, though, that if I went out and screamed Whiskers for 1,000 miles, this horse would come running. So I know that he will, I will find him eventually. I just, somebody has taken him far, far away, so they know that I won't scream his name. He had been in all these Pirelli venues and done a lot of things within the organization, and this is an upper level Pirelli horse. I mean, if you know what you're doing in this, in that type of venue, then this horse would be amazing for you. So that's a saving grace, though, because I'm sure he didn't go or end up on a slaughter truck or anything like that. I just have to commend Debbie because she's done every single thing possible to be able to help me find him. Excuse me, I'm a little emotional about it, but I just wanted to tell her thank you very much. And I thank you guys for doing more educational, because I was completely misinformed. I would have ID-chipped my horse. I would have freeze-branded him. I would have tattooed him. I would have GPS'd him. I would have hoof implant, whatever it would have taken to make sure that my horse would not have been stolen. I did have signs up on my property. So whoever came on my property knew that those were signs, that I didn't have a chip. I didn't have any way of being able to positively identify him other than photographs.
Mary, I wanted to say, too, we had Michelle post on our Facebook page. You were just talking about all of those things. And she wanted to point out, too, that she was down in Katrina, down in Louisiana, and she says all of these means of identification are not as, just as important as anti-theft devices, but as means of identification in natural disasters. They had to prove that their horses belonged to them, the horses that got loose and, you know, were put in corrals and things when they went to reclaim them. They had to prove that those horses were theirs. Well, unless you have, you know, this kind of a positive identification, they had a tough time doing that, and that was a natural disaster. So
exactly. That's why I asked you, Glenn, why ago, are we talking about theft when we were talking about that situation? Because natural disaster is another good reason for ID.
Right. And I didn't think about that before, you know, until today either. And, you know, because I'm sure Michelle hadn't really thought about it a lot before Hurricane Katrina, you know, wiped out the state. So, you know, we wish you the best of luck, Mary. I hope that we find that horse and that it's back in your pasture here someday soon, before Christmas. Let's hope for that.
Thank you. I need that for Christmas.
Anybody that wants to help Mary find Whiskers, they can go on our website, and Whiskers is right there. There's a list of horses on the right-hand side that we have on the hot list. And Whiskers is right there in that list, and it says Whiskers, Illinois, and they can, there's my southern thing saying Illinois with an S. There we go.
That's okay.
I just downloaded the flyer.
Good luck, Mary.
Good luck.
Good luck,
Thanks
Mary.
A lot. Great.
All right, we have Judy on the line here, and Judy actually, I think, recovered her horse. Hi, Judy, where are you from? What state?
Hi, I'm from Florida. Hey,
okay.
Debbie. I'm sorry, I'll get emotional here, and I've already recovered my horse. Shiloh was stolen last Labor Day weekend, and I, too, just like the lady just spoke, thought because she was such an elaborate colored horse, she's half paint and half Appaloosa, And I thought that, you know, nobody would ever try to steal a horse that was that recognizable. Well, Charlotte was stolen out of a pasture. We had her in a pasture with a friend's horses behind some houses, and there were neighbors all around. You know, they had been there. Their horses had been there for a while, and we had moved to 42 acres, and we were moving our horses back to the property. She was one of the last ones to move, and I'd gotten busy with my job, and I had procrastinated moving her. Well, I got the phone call that she had been stolen, and we had... We were, like, calling everybody, you know, to look for her because, you know, my boyfriend, he's a farrier. And so we were real active in the horse community. And a friend of mine had, she called, she said, contact netposse.com. I'd never heard of netposse.com. And I said, I don't care, I'll try anything. So my daughter went online and she registered her. And one of the things I wanted to stress with the listeners, I received phone calls within an hour from all over the United States, people telling me that they were going to put up the posters in their feed stores, tax stores, everywhere. I mean, just encouraging me. And that gave me something to go on. And we had received, I mean, she'd been gone for, you know, a few months. You know, in your heart, you think the further that they're, you know, the longer they're gone, the further they get away from you. And the less likely the chances are to get them back. But don't give up that hope. Don't ever do that. I cannot stress that enough because a friend of mine, she put me in contact with a lady in Miami, and unfortunately, Shiloh kind of got tangled up in that circuit with the horses being slaughtered down there. And this lady was active in trying to eliminate that, and she called me and asked me for the poster and the pictures and information, and I sent it to her. Well, evidently she had she's involved with her club, and she, you know, had spread, you know, it well, encouraged the members to copy the poster. Well, this gentleman was coming home from work, and he seen the trailer that was given in the description of Shiloh's being taken, and he called us immediately because he pulled out the flyer, and he called us, and he goes, I'm headed home, I'm here, you know, and these people are heading south, but there's two trailers, but the description of the trailer and the truck are the ones that you're giving in the flyer.
Wow.
So we immediately called the police down there, and unfortunately, the window there, you know, we missed them because they had turned off somewhere, but, I mean, they immediately responded to this, and, the flyer is so important, and I cannot stress, post those, copy them. If there's anybody in your area that has, you know, lost a horse, you know, been stolen, you know, copy these posters because that was a great, great tool to where we knew what area to start looking. We knew she hadn't left Florida. So anyway, this particular lady, I can't give her name because she's, you know, that is still so active down there. And she kept looking for her. And one day she called my girlfriend. She told me, she said, a Panalusa has come into our barn. And she says, and there's not a lot of those down here. So she sent a picture of Shiloh or this horse to my friend, and she sent it on to me. And I'm going to be honest with you. You know, you think that your horse cannot, their appearance cannot be altered. Hers was. I didn't even recognize her right off because they had body clipped her down to her skin, and she's had like a strip in her tail. It was two-toned. And they had pulled the darker color out, and they had roached her mane. And I kept looking at her, you know, the picture, and I said, is that her? That could be her. It's a good liking. And then the only thing that gave her away, that on one side she has like a marking that looks somewhat like the shape of Texas. And I took the poster down, and I kind of turned it at that angle, and I looked at it, and I said, that is her. Well, we called them, and they told us, you know, not to tell anybody, you know, to come straight there. And we got there and identified her. And they had told us that she wouldn't come to anybody.
So you ended up getting her back, though, right?
Yes.
In the end?
And whenever the sheriff's department got there, she opened her book, and Shiloh was the first page. She had a stack of them. where she told me that, you know, that she, you know, constantly, you know, watched the horses do this. So these posters are a tool. And
good. Child, and is she home in your pasture right now?
Oh yeah, I've been here looking at her, you know, and she has, and you know, and she since has been in a movie, Dry Creek, in off of Dish Network. But she has, she is, and I cannot thank Net Posse and Debbie enough. And like I said, you know, copy these posters, you know, get your horse, you know, ID'd, you know, and it, you know, I would never have thought that. And you let your neighbors know. Watch that pasture. Watch, you know, my horses are out there. Watch them. Nobody's to go in there, you know, except for me or certain, you know, whoever who has, you know, the right to be there. Because I thought my horses were safe because the pasture was behind houses. And these people watched these strangers come in and take my horses. And they had no idea. Now, the other four have not been recovered at this point, but Shiloh was. Because she
was
lying.
That's what I was going to ask you. Yeah, because she was stolen with four other horses.
Yes,
so,
ma'am. Yes.
But those are still on the lookout, huh?
Yes, ma'am. Yes. And don't give up hope.
Yeah, well, we sure do appreciate, Judy, you coming in and sharing your story of hope because, you know, so many of these people and, you know, they don't recover their horses as fast. And you're a beacon of light, I guess, to these people to be able to say, yes, it can be done. Judy's horse
yes.
was brought home because of this. And, you know, I just think we just all need to spread the word about Net Posse and get everybody on it. And we certainly do appreciate you being a part of the show this morning and sharing your good news.
Oh, no problem. No problem.
Thank you, Judy.
All right.
Thank you.
All right.
That's
probably well, we have our... to actually...
Go ahead.
Glenn, do we need to take a break?
Yeah, Debbie, can you hold on here? And our callers, please hold on. We'll be right back with you. We do have to take a quick break here for the news, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes. Hold on. We'll be right back.
This is the Horse Radio Network News. Sweden will host the inaugural FEI World Reining Finals in 2011. Qualified riders will compete for the title of World Reigning Champion at the finals in Malmo, where $100,000 in prize money will be on offer. The FEI World Reigning Finals, which are a reworking of the FEI World Reigning Masters, will be held on May 22nd. This is the first time that the annual individual final has been held outside North America since 2005. Legendary horseman Eugene Jean Mich, the founder of Stadium Jumping Inc., passed away last week following a long battle with cancer. He was 79. Born in Cleveland, Ohio on June 26, 1931, Mich, more than any horseman in history, changed the face of horse sports in the United States. Mich was inducted into the Show Jumping Hall of Fame in 2000 and was also awarded the Jimmy Williams Lifetime Achievement from the U.S. Equestrian Federation. Authorities in New Jersey are investigating a case of fraud involving New Jersey Horse Angels and its two trustees, Sharon Catalano Crum and Frank Wyckoff. The couple used internet social networking sites to raise more than $145,000 from donors between September 2009 and September 2010. More than $60,000 raised to supposedly save horses from slaughter was used for gambling, shopping, meals, and other personal expenses, authorities allege. It is also alleged that a significant amount of money raised to help horses through the unregistered charitable group was used to pay the expenses of its two trustees. New Jersey Horse Angels was based in Phillipsburg, New Jersey, where Catalano, Crum, and Wyckoff live. The charity operated under several different names, including New Jersey Horse Angels Rescue, New Jersey Kilpen Horses, Horse Angels of Facebook, Camelot Auction Horse Angels, and the Forgotten Angels. The common claim, according to authorities, was that horses that were intended to be sold and sent to slaughterhouses would be saved and then cared for by New Jersey Horse Angels through donations. Horse Angels had more than 490,000 New Jersey Horse Angels had more than 4,900 registered friends on one social networking website. The investigation confirmed that some of the donations were used to rescue, transport, and care for horses. Federal land managers investigating the fatal shooting of two wild horses in central Idaho are offering a reward for information on the deaths. The Bureau of Land Management Field Office in Challis, Idaho, says information leading to an arrest and conviction in the late November shootings could be rewarded with $1,000. The agency says the horses were found the weekend after the Thanksgiving holiday near Spar Canyon Road, about 15 miles southwest of Challis. Those who shoot horses or harass wild animals on federal land face up to 1 year in prison and a fine of $100,000. This is HRN News, and I'm Chris Stafford this Monday morning for Horses in the Morning.
Ready?
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a beautiful feeling. Horses are coming my way. You're listening to Horses in the Morning.
Well, we are talking today with Debbie Metcalf from Stolen Horse International. The news was brought to you by Pocket Stable. As we mentioned earlier in the show, Pocket Stable is the only app that's been created for horse owners who want to keep all of their information for vaccines, worming, farrier, dentist, and all that together and easily accessible. You can track their weight as well and reminders of important events like when is the farrier due. You can visit them at pocketstable.com. Well, Debbie, we are back with you. We're talking about how to protect our horses and keep them safe. And we're also speaking to people, listeners, who are calling in who've had experiences with net policy. It must make you feel good that the thing you started all those years ago does work on some occasions here and is the really the source for comfort for a lot of people who had this situation.
It does. I mean, if you sit in this office for a week, I mean, the pay here, I never get paid, but the pay is what you're seeing, what you're hearing right now. We never intended to start this organization. It started itself when we were looking for our own horse, Idaho. So many people helped us, came together to help us, that we really just wanted to kind of pay it forward to help other people and offer just be there for them like people were here for us. And it's just gotten so large, like when Judy said she got letters from all over the country. I mean, people don't understand. When we send our alerts out, we say, you know, be sure to drop a line to the victim and let them know you're there. That little note just says, you know, when you send a little note that says, hello, I'm so-and-so, and I'm going to post your flyer today in wherever you're going to post it, you don't know how much that means to a victim. You just a few words, you know. And this, you know, a victim's out there, and they're fighting a battle that no one can understand unless you've been in their shoes. And just a few words like that, you know, the comfort it gives, well, you just heard a couple of people tell you. So, yeah, it makes me feel really good to know that all of this happened because of the little white horse standing out in our pasture right now.
Right.
Aww.
Well, we have Robert from South Carolina on the line here. So let's say hi to Robert. Robert, you're on the air.
Morning, Debbie.
Robert. How you doing?
Not bad, thank you. Trying to stay warm.
It is good cold luck down here, isn't it?
Yeah. Where are you now?
That's pretty bad when we're saying that in South Carolina.
25 this morning.
So, Robert, what happened with you?
I had two horses, my truck, trailer, all my tax stolen in December 15th, 04. We have two suspects, Cuban man and woman. The lady has been convicted of changing VIN numbers already. They were fingered after my trailer was recovered about 2 years ago in November in Dallas, Texas. The Texas authorities were fantastic. However, these people have not been apprehended in 2 years by the Florida Sheriff's Department.
so we know where they are.
Let me back up a little bit. So you're in South Carolina. Your horses and truck and trailer and tack were stolen there, and you recovered one horse in Dallas?
No, I recovered my don't worry about South Carolina. I was in Wellington, Florida in December 15th, 2004. I had my truck, my trailer, all my tack stolen, and my two horses, two best horses that were loaded up on my trailer. And I drove out there December 15th, and they were gone. Two years ago, my trailer was found in Dallas, Texas, because the sheriffs in Dallas are doing an amazing job. Just absolute amazing job. And they recovered my trailer, and from that, two people were fingered, this Cuban fellow and this Cuban girl. And the girl has been convicted already on changing VIN numbers previously. And we have pictures of this fellow and this girl, and we know their names, but they have yet to be apprehended in 2 years by the Sheriff's Department in Florida.
So you got your trailer back. Anything about the horses?
Nothing.
The
criminals have more rights than you and I. You know, you can't question them. And they say, I don't know anything. Can't talk. So it's a kind of a joke after a while. We reward the criminals in our society, so that's what happens.
I do. Debbie, that brings up something that I want to ask you about. I assume that you're finding, just like with any other crime, that there's police departments and sheriff's departments across the country that are really motivated to get to the bottom of horse theft, and then there's others that could care less. I assume that's true.
That is exactly true. Probably more that could care less than ones that are motivated to help. And I don't necessarily think it has a lot to do with they didn't go to school for horse theft 101, you know, and that sometimes they just don't know how to deal with it. It is a pretty unique crime in today's society, and sometimes they just have more important crimes to handle. Sometimes their deaths are just stacked so high with other things that are more important. And sometimes they just don't care. But occasionally you find some very good law enforcement officers, and Robert has found some of those. I found some of those. And quite a few of our victims have that will go to the ends of the earth to help you. And I can't commend those people enough. I mean, they're so knowledgeable, and they do anything they can to help. So it's a cross-section of everything.
Well, we are on the line with Debbie Metcalf from Stolen Horse International and Net Posse. And we are sharing some stories, I guess, you know, people that are, they haven't recovered the horse, some people that have. And, Robert, we wish you the best of luck, and thank you so much for calling in and being a part of Horses in the Morning. And we wish you, you know, the best of luck finding your horses.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it very much. Thanks for everything, Debbie.
Thank you, Robert. And can I say one more thing about Robert? Robert's been looking for Brandy and Honky Tonk, what he calls his girls. And he didn't say too much about it because he gets, you know, I'm guessing because he's a man and he gets emotional. But he's been looking for his girls since 2004, and he's never quit looking for Brandy and Honky Tonk. And they are listed on the site in Florida, and they do have lip tattoos. And I'm sure they're out there because these are very well-trained polo ponies. And he would give to have those ponies back because he's a polo trainer. And he plays in some of the best circles out there. So these are very nice horses. And he would give anything to have them back. And another good thing about Robert and Lauren is not only are they helping themselves, but a lot of people don't know this, but they're helping a lot of other victims too. They're doing a lot of things behind the scenes here that help a lot of other people. They're kind
of, Robert,
they need your help.
We do. Yeah, we do appreciate that for sure, and you know, you're touching the lives of everybody else, and just like Debbie, who was a victim herself, and you can take that and you can be negative about it, or you can spin it into a positive light, which is what it seems like you guys
exactly.
are doing. You're
right.
going out and you're helping everybody else. So God bless you for that, and good luck. And I know if your horses were stolen from Wellington, Florida, they've probably a really nice truck and a really nice trailer and some really nice horses. So, my gosh, good luck to you.
It was a 1997 Ford 350 white dually and an elite aluminum trailer. I mean, and I think $60,000 worth of tack.
Oh,
I mean,
my gosh.
This, wow. was not a, yeah. this was not a small job.
No, this would be definitely a lot of money. Wow, okay. And then, you know, talking to everybody and everything that happened, it seems to be the same kind of story. You know, I would think that from what I've learned listening here, and I've been sitting here thinking about what I could do to protect my property, is I need to talk to my neighbors. I need to tell people that live around me what is acceptable here at my farm and what is not. And there is no truck or trailer that should be coming down my driveway other than mine and my one border. And the trailers live here, so they shouldn't be going anywhere. And it'd be a really good idea for me to talk to my neighbors and find out who can come and go from their farms as well. And just kind of make a little bit of a neighborhood watch. That's great. Grassroots campaign there to just make your own neighborhood safe. Would you agree?
That's one of our tips, actually, is to have a farm watch so in your community. And we're working on farm watch signs right now. We did some little tags for a group of ladies that wanted them, and we're going to be coming out with those so that if you want them in your community, like you're talking about, going around to your different neighbors, you can all hang little signs on your fences to tell people, just like in your community watch, that you're watching each other's backs. So if somebody comes into your community with, you know, thinking that they're going to take something off of your property, maybe they'll go somewhere else. I mean, they're going to get it somewhere. Whatever they're after, they're going to get. Because there's too many complacent horse owners out there that think it's just not going to happen to them. We're easy pickings. You know, we really are. We set ourselves up.
It's a crime of convenience.
They'll get what they want somewhere. So all you can do is just do as much.
Yeah, here's a truck, here's a trailer, and here's all my horses. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Do it while I'm home. By the way, I'm going to sleep tonight at 8:30, and you can do it. You know, come on in during the night. I'll make sure I sleep real thoroughly for you. And if the dogs bark, I'll make sure I don't get up and see what they're barking at. I mean, I travel across the country, and everywhere I go, people give me reasons why it's not going to happen to them. And, you know, and I heard something this weekend. Again, people say, well, nobody can find me. Nobody can find me. Hello, Google Earth. If they've got your address, they can find you. They can even plan pretty much how they're going to get your horses if the satellite's positioned.
Yeah, you're right. You basically, if it's a fairly recent picture, you can see the layout of all the pastures. You can see how close the road is to this pasture at this point. I mean, Google Earth and Google Street View must be a godsend to thieves everywhere.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so don't sit there and think they can't find you. They can find out where your place is, where the woods are around you, where the dirt roads run around your place. I mean, it's all laid out for them. They don't even have to work hard anymore.
Hey, we have another
man.
Caller on the line here, Jamie. We have Bernice, who we talked to in the last episode that we did with Mayito. Do we have any updates, Bernice?
No updates. I wish.
I see some that your fan page on Facebook is growing, though, for Mayito. I follow it. I'm a fan on there, and I see you posting on there regularly. Plus, I see a new shirt or sweatshirt that's available now, too. Tell us about that.
Yeah, one of the ladies on Facebook is an artist, and she does things on the computer. And so she took Mayito's picture and made a sweatshirt. It's on Cafe Press or something like that. You can go in and order them. I'm wearing one right now.
Yeah, and they're cute, actually. So, and it there you can find those if you go search for Maito Carbon Copy on Facebook. You can actually find a picture of the sweatshirts. She did a good job of putting Maito on there. She did put stolen across it so that it would be very evident that what this is. Please help find. This is a new form of a poster here. This is the new age form.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cute.
Well,
we do everything
we
can to get the horses in front of people. Catch their eye any way we can.
You know, I wanted to mention too that one of the reasons that we had Debbie back on here was because of Maito. You know, we had such a response to that show that's one of the reasons that we knew we had to do a follow-up show where we had more time. And that's why we had you both back today. Jennifer had a good question earlier on, too, that she talked to me about. And she said, you know, a lot of these horses, I'm sure, I don't know if you have figures for this or not, but a lot of these horses end up at auctions. Debbie, is there a figure of how many do end up at auctions?
No, not that I know of. But as far as the ones that are stolen?
Yeah.
I have no clue, and I don't guess anybody really does, but because they're stolen for so many different things, but mostly they're stolen, sent to an auction, and then they go to another auction, to another auction, to another auction, until somebody eventually takes them home or otherwise.
I grew up in New Holland, Pennsylvania, in Lancaster County, heart of Amish country, where they also had one of the biggest horse auctions that sent horses to slaughter and for meat and stuff. And there was a local magistrate there who I knew very well who really was pushing for more ethical treatment and to get the auction cleaned up, and he was fining them every other week. And, you know, he really was working hard at that. And I'm wondering, in the auctions, are they required to record info on the sellers and the horses, or is it just the number passing through the auction house?
They are required that to have information on the seller and the buyer.
Are they? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and
they do keep
horse.
That on record. But every horse that runs through an auction has to have a Coggins. Now, most of the Cogginses are those pieces of paper, and anybody can go in, like if it's a paint, they could draw maybe a little extra spotting. I don't really think that they actually check the Cogginses as well. They just look at the date and say, yeah, okay, clear. But some of these vets around here in Missouri, I don't know, not all of them, but some of them have been going to a new form of Coggins, which is actually has four pictures of the horse on the Coggins paper, not hand-drawn, but photographs of the horse. And I think if we could get maybe most of the vets to go to that, to where you actually put the picture of the horse on the Coggins, it would be harder for a thief to, you know, fake a Coggins going into a sale, because naturally if you've got a horse you're taking to an auction and it's stolen, you probably have a handful of Coggins papers that you can, you know, makeshift them to look like the one that you're sticking in the auction.
Well, that would work great for the horse auctions where you actually have to have the Coggins before you get there. But Bernice is probably not aware that there's a lot of horse auctions in the United States that you don't even have to have a Coggins before you get to the sale. You just show up with a horse in hand, and they pull the Coggins at the sale. You don't have to have any ownership paperwork at all.
But it's still the vet there at the sale pulling the Coggins. If these vets at the sale were even to pull the Coggins and made to take digital pictures of that, of those horses to put on those on those Coggins papers,
it would be wonderful.
There would be a picture of your horse.
It would be absolutely wonderful.
Yep, and it would be on record. So, Bernice, thank you so much for calling in again and sharing your story. You guys, we are running out of time for the entire program. I cannot tell you how fast this flew by. But, you know, help each other out. Log on to Net Posse. Get on become aware of everything that's going on. Talk to your neighbors. you know, do some theft prevention, put up a sign. There's so many things that we can do to head this off. And Bernice, you know, we wish you the best of luck, obviously, as well. So go in there, look around at these horses. It's so interesting to log on to netposse.com and just look around and see what happened to these people. You know, do you recognize any of these horses? And if you don't recognize these horses, what can you do to separate yourself from how their horse was stolen? You know, and look on and find out Debbie's tips that she has so where you can figure out how you can keep your farm from being the next victim. So, Debbie, you know, gosh, we could, of course, just continue to talk to you, and we do appreciate everything that you do, and I know you don't get paid to do it, and hopefully something like this, you know, being a part of Horses in the Morning will help spread your word as well.
Oh, I'm not complaining about not getting paid. I get up and don't go to work every day. People say if you love what you're doing, you don't go to work. And I'm still sitting in my pajamas.
Well, thank you, Debbie. We appreciate you being on again.
And thank you for having me. And I do hope people go to the site and look at the tips, the prevention tips. They're very easy to find. And we even have them in PDF documents so they can print them off and just look at them in their house and just go around the farm and work on the farm and get to work.
All right.
Yeah. Thank you, Debbie. And
well,
happy holidays to you.
Thank you, Glenn and Jamie, and happy holidays and Merry Christmas.
All right. Merry Christmas, right. Debbie. Thanks.
Well, we are wrapping up today's show. It's hard to believe that went by that fast. This was a more serious one for us, but we thought it was that important that we wanted to bring it to you today. Tomorrow we'll be back to the usual frivolity and nonsense. that'll happen. Be sure to listen to all the shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. You can also follow us on Facebook. Just search for Horses in the Morning. We want to thank our sponsors for this show, Omega Alpha, for being part of it. You can visit them at omegaalpha.ca. And, of course, Pocket Stable at pocketstable.com. And there were some comments on Facebook I saw where people were already going over and buying Pocket Stable. So we appreciate you supporting our sponsors as well.
Of course, and if you miss a live show, you can listen to recorded versions on our website, affiliate websites, iTunes. You can go in there and click subscribe to our show, and it'll just feed it to you every single day. You don't never need to miss an episode. So we'll be back tomorrow morning at 9 Eastern with Behind the Scenes with Darlene Newman, and it's Breed Day, and we're going to take a look at the Bashkir Curlies, if I said that right. Well, I don't know.
I have no idea. Goodbye, Jamie. Have a safe ride, everybody.